the knowledge, you know, that we have through the Word of God, that when challenges come, that these things can work to our good, our advantage. And, you know, and just like I've got the saying, and I got it from the Bible, what Satan means for our bad, God will turn it around. Romans 8 over there. For we know that God works all things together for the good, not to everybody. That's why a lot of people don't get it. They don't get the benefits. He said, those to those that love Him and called according to His purpose. And we're called according to the purpose of God. And I made and still making, and I stand on quality decisions that I've made over the last 25, 30 years in the out of the Bible. And when challenges come to me about that, I stand against it. You know, you got to stand against things. And, you know, a lot of God's people just think, well, God's in control. You know, and if God's allowing this to happen, they don't know the will of God, you know. Some things are just natural things that's going to happen. You know, your tires are going to wear out unless God just supernaturally keeps your tires, and He can do that. I mean, just running up and down the road, you know, and all of that stuff. But I was thinking about today how that we're to be bold. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 28:1, it says, an unrighteous man, an evil man flees, a wicked man, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And I got that statement years ago reading Proverbs because I wanted to be, I heard a preacher say that Proverbs is the book of wisdom. You know, and he said you can read a chapter every day and gain wisdom from now on, you know, and all that. And I thought, well, you know, I want to be wise. So I started reading pretty often in Proverbs, and I got a lot of stuff out of Proverbs. But I got that back under, I guess, 20-something years ago. And the Lord, when I read it, the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said, you've got to be bold against oppression. You've got to be bold against fear. You've got to be bold. And this will cause you to seem radical to folk, you know. And bold means you have confidence. That means that when you say, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, your body can tell you a lot of stuff. Evidence can, other people go through things and if you're not careful, you know, those will speak louder to you than the Word of God. Because this is what I've got, that the enemy will come to you and he'll say, well, this is what you got to look forward to. You know, this is what, God blessed you a little bit, but that was the good old days or something like that. And the reason why he does that is to get me or you not to be bold against and say, oh, no, his mercies are new every day. His grace is multiplied to me. I've preached it for a lot of years, but me and you have to constantly make quality decisions in things that we don't know. We get some things established, you know, just like salvation, you know. The enemy come to me and he said, after I got saved, he said, you didn't really get saved, you know. And I thought, I was there, you know. I mean, he tried that one time to try to come and get me to say that, to thinking that salvation wasn't real. When I was there, and I told him, I said, you're a liar. Satan, you're a liar, those thoughts, you know, they're not from God. And I didn't really know a lot of scripture at that time, you know. But I mean, even as a young Christian, I was bold against the enemy in that. And he didn't bother me anymore with that. You know, I wouldn't bother. Why? I made a quality decision that it was real. And then there's nothing he can do with that. Once you make a quality decision based on the Word of God, then there's nothing the devil can do with that. There's nothing he can bring to destroy that. The only way that he can do anything is for me to yield and give him some tools to work with. You know, and I can do that with my mouth. I mean, I heard it for years, you know. And we were raised in poverty. I mean, they were 60s, up 40s and 50s. You know, I wasn't born then, but in the 60s, I mean, I remember we never went out to a restaurant and eat. Every now and then, Mom worked at a cafe. Maybe once every 2 or 3 months, we might get to go down there and get a hamburger. That's all the restaurant. I mean, I remember maybe 2 or 3 times you know, getting to go to a restaurant in my younger years, you know. That just, you know, there wasn't no money for that and all of that, I guess. And so I was raised up thinking, but when I got born again, I began to read in the Bible. And the way I was believing in my arena, I'm sure it's not everywhere, I was a radical. I was a Bible thumper. When I started making quality choices, not really shoving it down nobody's throat or nothing, I mean, this thing is changing my life. This is changing the way I feel on the inside about my future. The Word of God began to give me vision of being strong and you know, not being a coward. And I'm talking about in the kingdom, you know, and having a good life, you know. And I mean, in the Christian arena, I was attacked more than sinners. I mean, the Christians labeled me quicker than sinners. Because the sinners, they're like, he must know Jesus. Then the Christian community over there, they're like, well, you can't get too radical with this stuff. And I'm like, the Bible's not radical. It is to you. It is to the world. It is, and it is to a lot of Christians. Yeah, I mean, if you believe in you're healed and you know, believing you're by Jesus' stripes, you're healed, you're going to be attacked sometime through the church. I've heard of, I mean, they've told me before, well, you know, we got to use common sense, Brother Scotty. I mean, you can't say you're really healed whenever you're having affliction in your body. I said, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, call myself healed. Say, as I have believed, therefore I speak. And you know, and so now it's just normal for me. And I don't feel out of place when I'm around people when I do that. Why? Because I have made quality decisions. I'm not trying to please people. I'm not trying to hurt people. But I am going to believe what the Bible says, whether the whole church does or not. Now, I'm not talking about here, y'all flow with it yourself. Or I couldn't bring these things. Y'all already flow with it. But how many knows you got to be bold against poverty? I mean, you know, y'all teenagers, when you go to work, when you get your job, believe for a job. Believe God for a job. I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, see, that's kind of alien in the church. I told a guy one time, he said, pray. He said, Brother Weston, I'd preach sermon, come up. If anybody want prayer, he comes up. He said, pray that I'd get a job. I said, give me an offering. He said, what? I said, give me an offering. Because I'm just here innocently thinking. I mean, I'm not all churched and all of that stuff too much. I'm getting a hold of this seed time harvest thing. You know, and I'm telling him, I'm like, well, you know, if you won't believe God, you know, give me something. Give me an offering. Give God an offering. Plant a seed. And then I'm going to come in agreement with your faith, your seed, and then you're going to get a job. He's going to give you not any job. He's going to give you his perfect job, the perfect job. You know, I mean, half of that church got a little upset with me. I could feel the atmosphere because I'm all in it, you know, and then when I got done, I didn't feel no anointing to say nothing. I thought, what happened? I killed them. I mean, you know, and I'm like, I couldn't really believe it. And I'm like, well, black God, I don't care. I didn't say nothing to them, but I left out there and I thought, I don't care if no church on the planet believes what that word says. The Bible says, give and it shall be given. And God, I'm going to believe that, not what the church says. Now, I want to believe the best in every Christian. And I want to, but you got to watch what comes into your ears that they believe. Because some people believe based on what they're experiencing. Or what somebody else is experiencing. I'm not suffering any lack with this inflation. I'm not partaking in it. See, I mean that's not common to a lot of Christians. See, don't partake in it. What does that mean? That means you stand bold and say, if groceries increases, God will increase me. But God, I'm not going to suffer any lack. Hallelujah. you come out of your mouth and you don't go to storing up and all that unless he's telling you, you know, don't get in fear. Fear is not your friend. Fear is not your wisdom. There's a lot of Christians believe that fear is leading them to do things. And it's the Lord. That's not so. Fear will never lead you to make the right choices. The Bible says in Romans 8, those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Not by fear, not by the economy, not by the news. I mean, I hate it for Maui, and then here comes the hurricanes and all of that stuff over there, and people's lives are disrupted and blah, 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 you know. But you know what? All that gives is God opportunity to go into the places that they will let him and believe him and stand. And then we stand with them with our faith, praying and lifting them up and saying, God, you're the God of Maui. You're the God of Florida. You're the God when challenges comes to me. You know, I was telling you about the big job. Well, I've got everything together, and I've done went over it 2 or 3 times, you know, and I just don't feel satisfied on the inside. And I'm like, God, why am I not satisfied? How many knows the Bible says that me and you, so you need to be looking on the inside about everything you're doing. He said, we will be led forth by peace. We won't be led forth. I mean, you know, at a time when hay was bringing $45, I believed God to give me favor, and I bought all my hay for $30 a roll. And I bought, and used to, I would have to believe him to get the hay when I needed it, you know, and everything. And then I started saying, nope, I'm not going through all this trying to worry me about hay. But God, you going to supply. And you know what? I bought all my hay and hauled it in one day for the whole year. Paid for. It took me a couple of years till I'm figuring this thing out, and I'm like, hey, work this just like you do everything else. Well, I'm not satisfied on the inside. And I'd priced the job for a little over $100,000, you know, and I'm like, God, why am I not satisfied? Now, some people are going to get upset about what I'm fixing to say, and that's time. Just stay broke. God said, because you've not put enough labor. I said, well, God, man, I thought I was pretty up there already, Lord. And he said, yeah, well, my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's what he says in Isaiah 55, ain't it? Does it still say that? My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than yours. As the rain comes down and waters the earth, so shall my word be. It'll not, you know, well, his word is coming on the inside of me and you. See, that's why we need to be Bible students and hearing the preaching and reading the Word of God. And then whenever we get in situations or we need direction, then the Holy Spirit comes in line with the Word of God. He'll use the Word of God primarily to speak to me and you. He'll bring that Word. And you know what? The Lord said, I want you to double. He said, I want you to change that. He said, whatever you pay for the doors, he said, that's what I want you to put labor. I thought, woo, hallelujah. Now my next thought, what if you don't get it? I ain't listening to that. Praise God, you hear what I'm saying? Now I'm not bragging on the job. I really don't want all the work, Mac. I mean, it's going to be, months, about 3 or 4 months of turning it on that and turning it on and not neglecting these other things that are not making pretty good money on. You know what I'm saying? You stay balanced. You don't follow money. Don't follow money. We follow the Lord. But you know what? Don't follow inflation. Don't partake in inflation. I like the thing Travis put on Facebook, and he said the COVID thing's already ramping up on the news if you ain't heard it already. Well, we got an election coming up. Real quick here, got an election coming up. And so they use this fear tactic. It's going to kill you. I put it on Facebook when it happened. I said, people are not afraid of COVID. They're afraid of what it might do to them. You know, that's fear. Well, I mean, I got blasted a little bit by a pastor, you know. No, they are afraid of COVID. No, they ain't afraid of dying. You get over about being afraid of dying, no weapons formed against me will prosper, you get over in that, then COVID can't tell you nothing. So Travis, he put on there, not going to be partaking in the what? COVID game this year. Well, I'm not going to partake in it either. I'm making up my mind right now. Y'all go ahead, the world can go ahead and scream fear and get people to shoot. I'd rather go shoot up from heroin than shoot that garbage that they've made real quick up in me. My brother, one of my brothers, took the COVID shot, and he ain't been the same since. I was out there the other day, and he said, you know what? I don't know if it was the shot or what. He said, but I've absolutely got weaker and weaker and weaker ever since I took that second COVID booster, whatever. A lot. Yes. And so, I mean, I even had a doctors get upset with me because I ain't going to get the booster. I mean, they really wanted to tell me, well, look, I'm not going to see you if you ain't going to get that. And I would be like, well, I'm not going to let the door hit me where the Lord split me. Adios, amigos. I got a doctor that is higher than you. His name is Jesus. I've got protection from on high. I make fun of that when I'm talking to these salesmen and different things, but I mean what I'm saying, but God. And I'm not going to let them get a negative confession out of me. Walked up on elderly, did a job for him the other day, and he said, I think you're just doing this to the elderly. I said, what you talking about? He's a Christian. And he said, how long have you been pastoring where it's at? And he's up in Coleman. And he said, they went up on my insurance, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, who are you with? He said, I'm with Allstate. I said, well, they're a good insurance company. I said, but have you? He said, we've been there forever. I said, that might be your problem. I said, why don't you just call around and get you some quotes and then lay it out to Allstate? I told my insurance company, I said, they had insurance on my house, and she said, you're going to open a can of worms. I said, I'm used to worms coming out. I said, y'all or Wells Fargo don't tell me where I buy insurance at. I can drop you right now and get my house insurance somewhere else. It's not a mandate that I use you. I said, and by the way, I said, it's coming up when I get it paid off. I said, everybody's going to have to sharpen their pencils if I keep feeling the way that I'm feeling. So I told him, I said, well, you know, maybe it's time for you to come on. And I thought, he'd have to come out of fear to do that. I'm afraid to change. I'm afraid. No, you ain't afraid. The Bible says that God didn't give us spirit of fear, did he? I mean, the Bible says we're the righteous are what? Bold. They're bold. They're not mean and ugly. You know, I mean, the Bible says for me and you to be diligent in our business, diligent in what we do, not slothful. And I'm still working on it. I'm still working on it right now. Hallelujah. To be diligent in everything. Just like he said, well, you know, when we do that, I mean, we go about saying, okay, God, I am the hand of the diligent. I am, Lord. I might not be perfected in the natural right now, but I'm believing that I am the hand of the diligent, and I'm going to step forward for you know it, you're diligent. Why? Because it works. And then you know what it does? It does away, the more that me and you grow in the Lord and in the knowledge of the Lord and exercise it, put it into action, the less challenges that will be able to affect us. Then we'll come in here, I shall not, I'm like a tree. See, that's scripture. That's not a song. Planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Right? Well, I mean, you know, Satan watches us. He watches how we're going to react. He listens to what we say. He listens to what we say. He's not stupid. I mean, the dude has been here a long time. I mean, and he has studied humans. He knows what the flesh is. That's why we're not to walk dictated by the flesh man. We walk in the Spirit, the Bible says. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. It's hard for a lot of Christians that I come run across these days to believe they're right. They're righteous. The Bible says me and you has been made. If Jesus is your Lord, if you have give your heart to Jesus, you are the righteousness of God. And you know what happens? Because I'm right, it makes me want to do right. Righteousness begins to work in me. You know, it's not me trying to work it out. The Bible says that it's Him that works in us, both to will and to do. Then we have a surrender to Him that we're right. We're in right standing with Him. I'm in right standing with the Lord. Are you? Are you the righteousness of God? Then you're to be bold against sickness and disease. Now, these people, but we can't, I can't make anybody be bold. These people, I'm like, man, why can't they just stand up, Lord? Why can't they just fight a little bit? Why don't they just, and you preach, you try to minister to them, you know, and they're like, well, you know, God's in control. God got this. That's a real popular one today. God got it. Well, if He got it, you shouldn't have it. Right? God got this. I mean, that's dumb. No, God has put me and you in control down here on this earth through the Holy Spirit. He told us to come down here and subdue and replenish and take authority over it, all the animals and all of that. Hallelujah. How many knows a dog until you get in fear will submit to you? Dogs feel fear. They pick it up. They smell it, I think. I don't know about that, but they do. They know. Why? Because we've been given dominion. We have been given dominion. You know, and the Bible says the righteous are as bold as the lion. I mean, the Bible says in Hebrews 4, it says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might find help and grace in time of need. Boldly. Not to God, oh God, I messed up all week, Lord, I'm so sorry. I mean, that's okay every now and then, but that's not every day. I mean, there comes a point, you know, to where we have to rise up and we have to say, God, we already been healed. Black God, you sent your Son to the whipping post, and I mean, you shed His blood on the cross, and now, man, you handed it down to us through the anointed Holy Spirit, and then you give us the Word of God, and you back it up through your Holy Spirit and your divine power, and black God, this body ain't going to tell me what to do. If I've done it once, I've done it half a million times over 30 years, and it does work. Sometimes I have to walk it out and just keep on and don't complain and lay around moan and groan and all of that stuff, you know. Satan hears that stuff. Satan watches it. I mean, he watches it. And then, black God, if when you're not believing God, He increases the fire a little bit more. He'll increase the challenge. He'll put you around somebody moaning, groaning just like you. Not y'all, but I'm just talking in general, you know. Just like I bought some doors and he delivered them this afternoon, or truck delivered them this afternoon, and I said he's running a hot shot, you know. Good money in a lot of stuff right now. I mean, you can make money doing stuff. Anybody, I mean, you can believe God. It's unlimited what God can do in your life right now, you know. Well, anyways, I said, because I know the freight on it's like $220, and if you got four or five stops, you know. And all of them ain't, that's called a milk run. Well, if you have over three or four doors, well, then they go by percentage of the doors. So it can get on up to $500, $600, $700. I paid $750 here a while back, you know, for one drop off, you know, of some mini doors. So I told him, I said, you make pretty good doing that, don't you? Oh, yeah, man, I make pretty good money. I said, that's good. I said, you know, I used to go pick them up, but I started thinking, you know, about guys like y'all, you know, that's doing your hot shot stuff. And I said, so I decided that I'm just going to pay y'all. I said, I used to go get them, but I started thinking about you too. You know, I'm giving you a job. Oh, yeah, man, I hadn't thought about it that way. He said, I hope a lot of people think that way. I said, yeah, and it don't cost me nothing. He said, how does it not cost you nothing? I said, because I had freight in on their doors when I order them for them. I said, it didn't cost me nothing to get them doors here. I said, these people right here that I sold the door to, I added the freight in there, and said, Lord gives you wisdom. It ain't my problem to get their doors down here out of Georgia. Right? I don't need doors. I mean, look, man, I mean, I'm not that smart. But I'm anointed and got the wisdom of God. You might not be that smart, but you've got to believe that you've got the anointing and wisdom of God. You're not on your own. Greater is he that's in me. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. This guy ordered some doors, and it's like $7,000, whatever. And I told him, I said, okay, man. I said, I'm telling you this because you've got to be bold. I told him. I made him a ticket up and I sent it to him. Installment. Okay, I'll mail it. Well, I didn't order the doors. I thought I'm going to wait until it gets here. Well, about a week goes by, I don't got it. Any rocket scientist knows if you mail it from Coleman, it'll be here in 2 days. 3 at the most. 4, surely. Unless it gets lost. So, didn't come. So I sent him a message. I said, you didn't mail a check. Oh, I'm out of town. I'll do it Monday. And I said, okay. I said, that's fine. He said something about wanting to add another door to the building. I said, that's fine. I said, I'm just going to fix you up their invoice. I said, and I'll send it to you. So I fixed him up and added that door in, and it increased the installments. You know what I'm saying? It increased it, and so I sent it to him. He says, okay, I'll mail it. Well, 2 or 3 days went by, and I thought, I'm fixing to cancel them doors. Well, you know, I'm fixing to cancel it. Like that, you know. And so I told him Monday, I dropped him a pin where I'm going to be. And I told him, I said, I'm going to be here until 11 o'clock on the job. He said, I just ain't real good about mailing. So I said, well, you just bring it to me. Well, 11 o'clock, didn't show up, you know. And I'm like, well, we left and all of that. Well, sitting there last night, you know, right before I went to bed, and I thought, well, I'm done with him. So I sent him a message. I said, I will be canceling the doors in the morning. I said, you have not got me an installment on these doors, and I'm going to stop the process of these doors. Click. And I went on to bed. I didn't think no more about that. I thought, you know what? You're not going to hook me with $7,000 worth of doors. I'm not going to, the doors ain't going to come in. I got the money, but I'm not buying your doors. And I didn't tell him all that. That's just my policy here. I'm not going to get burnt by no devil. I'm not talking about him. People are evil out here, but I don't wrestle against that. So how do I do with that? That I be bold. What I'm going to do, I set it out, set it in motion. They either agree or they don't, right? That's the way you do it. That's the way I do it. You're not in business, but it works in everything. It's talking about making quality decisions and being bold about it. Well, I got up this morning, and he had sent me a message. Where are you going to be in the morning? I can be there early. And I looked at it, and I thought, I'm not responding right now. I got business to take care of. I'm not going to work. Well, about 11 o'clock, he calls me. I guess it was 11 or something, 12. And I said, look, man. I'm not going to cancel the doors, but I need you to get me a down payment on these doors. Okay, man, well, you just tell me where. I said, I'm going to meet you after lunch tomorrow. I got this job and go to Abbotville, and then I'm going to shoot across to Coleman, and I'll meet you in Coleman. Well, this guy's got money. Well, you know what? I don't care. Y'all quiet? Are you learning? Or okay? I will get a down payment, or he won't get doors from me. I'm not a beggar, and I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I won't lose. God will give me another job to make up double for me being diligent. Cause if the guy won't pay me now, will he pay me when I get done? Right? There's a problem here. Well, used to, I'd be afraid, oh, Jesus, I need this job, I need this job. I don't care if I didn't have not $1 in my pocket, I'm going to do this job the same way. Why? Because I'm not led by money. You shouldn't be led by money. I mean, y'all teenagers, oh, I'm going to get a job making $30 an hour. No, I'll be willing to work for 10, wherever God wants you. Somebody told me one time that we was back yonder, and young girl, oh, I got to work at Jack's, and I'm Jack flipping hamburgers. I said, why are you down in that place? It feeds us. I said, besides that, I said, you're a Christian. I said, do you tithe? I said, well, then you're going to just be on your own. I said, but go down there and begin to praise God for that job and begin to tithe and sow seeds. I said, who knows? I said, you could own Jack's. Well, you know what? It wasn't too long after that. I don't know how long. Got married, and both of them was managing Jack's. Instead of sitting down here complaining about the $8 an hour, begin to honor God and praise God for the $8 an hour. Travis called me one time, and my brother and them needed some help. We were a little slow, just roofing. Kind of hard work, roofing then. And Dad telling me about it, you know, and I said, well, how much are you making right now? Well, none. I said, well, whatever they pay is better than what you got. Y'all ought to listen to what I'm telling you. God can't do nothing with nothing. The Bible says He will bless whatever you set your hands to do. Well, I ain't got a car. Well, Teresa's papa walked 8 miles to work one way, from what I can find out. Had a family to feed. I mean, you can't even get nobody, I mean, to imagine doing that today. Oh, I don't even want a job, much less walk 8 miles. I guarantee you, God will have somebody pick you up right after you left the house. See, we can't be a generation that's got to have everything worked out as Christians, everything worked out before we get up and do something. We got to do something where God can do something. Hallelujah. You got to make a quality. It's hot out there. We all know we work out here. What? Travis Nim is hot. I told going down the road, and it is. I mean, when it's 98 degrees, it's hot. I told Travis one morning, I said, well, the world ain't shutting down because it's hot. They're not, are they? I mean, Monty, they tell you, look, it's going to be super, super, super heated up tomorrow, Monty. Just don't worry about it. People ain't calling me and saying, Scotty, just wait till it cools off for calling me. Can you get my door yesterday? So I can't get a mentality heat's going to stop me, right? Now, I don't like it like everybody else, but bless God, the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I believe it is, it says, we can do all, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, he had a different mentality than a lot of Christians. But he wrote that, and he's sending it in to these churches, the Philippians, so that they'll get a hold of it. That you can do it. You can handle the heat. You can handle the problems. You can handle your messed up life through Christ who strengthens you. And he'll take you places you never dreamed you'd be. I'm in places right now that I believed God for 30 years. I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you the truth. Hallelujah. I tried to get this Cabco company 25 years ago to do their work. More money in service work than there are the garage doors. But you know what? I'm fixing to have them. He told me to do it again a couple of years ago. He told me to do it again. Whenever God's speaking to you, well, that's you, Brother Scott. Don't take this as my story. He's the same God that I serve, that you serve, if you serve Him. He's no respecter of persons. What He'll do for one, He'll do for another. I was listening to Bill Winston. How many knows him? Bill Winston. I was listening to him. See, he went over there, and God told him to go over there where he was at, and he had, I think, $300. And then God told him to buy that mall down there. They said it couldn't be done. They told him it couldn't be done. And I was listening to him the other day, which I done heard it. And that's where I got a lot of my bold inspiration from, people like that that took the odds and God said you can do it. And think statistics said and preachers said and his family said and all them said it couldn't be done. And he believed God in spite of all that. And you know what? He got it. But he said, I got around a man named Charles Capps. Anybody ever heard of him? Yeah. He was a farmer that never could make no money till he got saved and started speaking to his crop. Started speaking to his land and stuff. He said, I started listening. He said, I was around him a lot. He said, and he'd point at things and talk to it. He said, so I had a car. He said, it wouldn't start. You know, and he said, and I thought, well, if he'll do it for him, he'll do it for me. Whosoever shall say to this mountain. And so he says, well, praise God, if he'll do it for him, he's no respect the person he'll do. He went and spoke to his car, and that thing cranked. My brother and him running late for work one time, you know, and every morning, running late for work. And I got tired of it, you know. They come in there and started, you know, when somebody's wrong, and they start explaining why they're wrong, because they feel, and they have a need to tell you, you know, to cover up why they're, you know, their excuse. You know, started telling me that it was a transmission in the truck, a little straight shift transmission. So I jumped up and I said, well, bless God, you know what? I said, let's go. We're going to lay hands on that Toyota this morning. I said, because I'm getting tired of this, praise God. I said, we're going to get this out of the way that's causing y'all to run late, praise God. I mean, his wife's eyes rolled back in her head. I told him, I said, let's go. So we went out there, bless God. I laid hands on that Toyota, and I said, you're getting in the way of integrity. I said, I command you in the name of Jesus. I command that transmission to be healed. I said, go drive it. A gear was stripped clean out in it. I said, go drive it. Go drive it. I said, I believe I received healing for that Toyota. Black God, go drive it. They got in that, went down the road. Gears was all fixed in it. It was a stick shift. And you know what? They drove that, and it might, you know, I mean, that sounds unbelievable, but did you believe that he is a miracle worker? He is a miracle worker. And he's in me and you. He's in us. He said in Mark 11 over there, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it. Don't doubt. The Bible says, I believe it's in Luke 9:23, all things are possible to them that believe. Well, you know, to do what I'm saying takes a boldness. I mean, it takes a stand that you know that God's with you and he's going to back up what you do that's in line with his word. I'm not one bit timid about saying this, that every one of y'all that are believers have the anointing to lay hands on people and get them healed. I made that quality decision myself because of the word. Now, what words you got for that? Mark 16:17. You ever read it? He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Signs. People getting healed. Casting out devils. Signs follow us as believers. You go back, if I could go back and have you to watch a movie of mine and Teresa's life just before, 7 years before we got saved, and up till now, it'd be hard for you to believe it. Because of the miraculous work that this Bible does and the Holy Spirit does in the minds and hearts of God's people. The Bible says, as you think in your heart, that's the way you are. If you believe you're a nobody, that's who you are. But in reality, that's not who you are. You're created in the image and likeness of God. And in reality, Satan, somebody was talking to me about my marriage. Everybody talks about my marriage and my relationship with Travis and how it is, you know, that knows me pretty close. And they said, man, it's just amazing. I said, you got that right. I said, God has done such a work. I said, I don't really see, a father and son being able to work together and get along like me and Travis do. Now, number one, we both are Christians. Number two, we both respect each other. I don't sing slurs and things out to him, even kiddingly, too much, you know. I take things that I say towards him serious because I know that the things that I say can make him or hurt him. Right? Well, it can of you, even though if you don't know nobody. What you say, yeah, the economy's just bad, and I'm telling you right now, if we could get them Democrats out of there, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's not happened to nobody. Somebody asked me the other day, I was talking about something, you know, and they said, I'm not going to ask if you're a Democrat or a Republican. I said, I'm not neither one of them. I said, I don't put my trust in neither one of them. I said, the Bible says, cursed is the man that trusts in man. I'm not going to curse myself. But blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord because he's our help. He's our deliverer. I don't care if the devil himself gets in there and sits on that throne, bless God. I will be protected by the Most High God. You will be protected by the Most High God. No weapons formed against you will prosper. All odds may be against you right now, but I'm telling you right now, if you will rise up and get a boldness towards the kingdom of God and where you want to go in life and work toward that, give God something to work with. I'm telling you, in a year's time, your life can be so turned around, I mean in a right direction, that you will be like, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God I heard that stupid sermon, it seemed like, down there. See, it's not coming that people stand up and believe God today. I mean, it's getting far, far fetched. I mean, I even had a guy one time, I said, well, I'll pray about it. And he said, has it come to that? And I said, praying about stuff, man, really? Bible says, pray about everything. Be anxious for nothing. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let all your requests be known unto God and the God of peace. I said, no, it ain't come to that. I said, it should have been doing that. It's not that I've come to praying over my family, praying over my ministry and the church and believing. Y'all are going to prosper. The Bible says that he will bless the works of my hand. That you are the works of my laboring. And he said he will work. He will bless the works of your hands. Hallelujah. See, we go about this natural world, but we can't be too caught up naturally thinking. We got to think in line with the Word. We got to think. I mean, it wouldn't bother. I mean, it'd be good for you if you went around thinking all the time, I am the righteousness of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will be somebody one day. I will be blessed of the Lord. And you know what? I heard a prophecy at the end of last year, and I listen to this man every year because he takes time and he gets away and fast and pray to see if God will speak anything for the body of Christ for the following year. And I do the same thing, not as like he, quite like he does. I look here to see if God said anything for this part of the body at the end of the year for us to have something to hold on to through the year. And he said, it will be a good year for some, for those that all that he can be. What that means is that there's people involved and a lack of faith will stop what God wants even moving forward. Things just don't automatically happen to Christians. Some things are going to happen according to the Bible. But most of the time, our faith is what gets us into the promises. Most of the time. My life is not haphazardly got where I'm at. I mean, really, it has. Not in business or in. I was a quitter, Johnny. I mean, black God, I quit everything. I quit everything but drugs. I wasn't planning on quitting that, man. You know, quit everything but you know, get high on the weekend and everything. But I got born again, and I made my mind up. I'm not going to be a quitter anymore, Lord. And with your help, God, I won't quit. I won't quit. I'm tired of quitting. I'm tired of being a quitter, Lord. Now, I made that conscious decision. And I said, Lord, and I know you'll help me. You said the Holy Spirit was my helper, and he would help me. You can't hardly get me to quit nothing now. I have to be held back a lot most of the time on stuff now, you know, and everything. Over the course of years, he quickens the Word of God to you. So see, you might be challenged in your life right now, but don't live in the right now. Live in the future. God, I know what's going on right now. Yes, these challenges are here, Lord, but this is temporary. You got to say it. These are temporary. These situations are temporary, God. I might be going through right now. I might be suffering a little bit right now, God, but you're going to bring me out to an abundant place. Psalm 66:12. Get you some scriptures on it. You went through the fire, went through the flood. Men rode over your heads, but I brought you out to a wealthy place. I laid hold of that scripture. I said, Lord, I've been an underdog. The Westons have been underdogs all these years. I mean, we were looked down on, you know, probably a good reason. I don't know. Wasn't my fault. I hadn't been there but 5 years. How much damage could I have done to somebody? I huffed gas at 6 years old. I stayed stoned on gas. That hose pipe down in there. That's how we was watched at home. Huffing gas. Then I huffed paint later. Then when I got up where I could do drugs, I did some cocaine, all that stuff. It just progressed. You know, it all that progressed. So, you know what? I'm telling the Lord I got saved because I got tired of that life of no peace on the inside at 27 years old. Everything I tried, it seemed like never worked. Might work for a week or two or a little bit, you know, and all of that, you know. And I really was tired of that, you know, tired of being a quitter, tired of losing. And, you know, and had that thinking, we'll never be nobody. So I got born again, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you'd, me and Teresa both, we'd say, Lord, if somebody would just give us a break, Lord, we could have a good life. You know, our life would get better. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I gave you a break, and his name is Jesus. And I mean, over the course of not long down the road, began to show me scriptures in there and had sermons. I had a sermon, Bradley preached a sermon one night about witchcraft. You know, and I'm thinking, I wonder what witchcraft is. I don't know what witchcraft is. Witchcraft behind drugs, do you know that? Any drug you want to take, witchcraft behind it. Witchcraft is behind painkillers when that person takes one extra pill other than what the doctor prescribes, then they're yielding to a demonic spirit. Y'all got quiet. Witchcraft. Spirit of witchcraft. Spirit of witchcraft still got a big stronghold in this city. There's drugs all over this city. I mean, they're walking around zombies and different things, man. Zoned out. You know, going through life, and 20 years go by, and, man, what did I do with my life? You know, but see, we're against that spirit of witchcraft. We're to be bold against it. You know, I'm not against having fun, but when it destroys lives, that's not fun. That is not fun. We got to be bold. We are bold against it. Just like I told the law down here, y'all don't get discouraged. I'm here. They're like, who are you? I told them, I said, y'all can take them off street and put them in jail, and they get out and go right back. I said, but when I get a hold of them and get them saved, I said, they get born again. I said, y'all don't never have to deal with them again. See, y'all don't get all discouraged and hopeless down here. We here. See, the church is here. I mean, you know, I'm not going to back up and say, well, the strongholds are just too much. No, I'm telling you, once a person gives their heart to Jesus Christ, hallelujah, makes him the Lord of their life, begins to go and listen to that conviction on the inside, that convincing on the inside, praise God, that's that righteousness coming forth on the inside. You hear a sermon, he preached a sermon on witchcraft, you know, and he said, see, he said, you're operating in witchcraft. He said, if you say your washing machine goes out and you hear somebody got one and you just get around them and you say, well, I'm believing God for a washing machine. He said, you know they got one, they don't know yours. He said, that's witchcraft. He said, and God can't get involved in that. He said, but if you take and you believe God, just made it a real clear example of believing God and not operating in witchcraft. And I've decided that now, I thought, well, bless God, I am a believer, not a beggar. And if God's a big God, then I can let him know and he can answer my prayer when people don't even know. So I made a decision. So the next morning I thought, I'm going to see if this works, man. And so I go to work, we get in there, and my brother Preston, he had on a nice Timex watch, you know. I looked over there and I thought, I'm going to see if I can get his watch, you know, using witchcraft. And so I went in and I said, hey, man, what time is it? I said, huh? He told me what time it was. I said, man, I'm going to have to get me a watch like that. I think I'm going to try to get me one just like yours. He looked down at his watch like that, you know, and I said, because, you know, I wouldn't have to ask what time it was or nothing anymore. And you know what? He said, I got two more just like that, man. He said, here, you can have this. And handed me that watch. And I said, nah, man, I just used witchcraft on you. I said, I'm not looking for a watch. I buy my own. I said, but I heard a certain, I went preaching that everywhere then, boy. Every time somebody say something, I'm in need. I said, don't tell nobody. Just don't tell nobody about nothing. I said, unless you really feel led, I said, believe God and let God do miracles. And I'm telling you, he's brought miracles into my life by doing that kind of stuff. Why? Because it's trusting really in him. It's making quality decisions. That's a hard thing, too, because your mind is down here in the carnal. It's down here. If nobody knows, how are they going to be able to help me? No, you got to come on up higher than that. I mean, God knows everything, right? I mean, God knows. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm believing God for a van for these people, you know, my nephew and them, and they didn't have no money, and I didn't have no money. And we went down, and they was this day trader. This dude had TVs on his porch, I mean, the kitchen. I mean, wherever he went, buddy, he's keeping up with that stock market. He got them everywhere. He's watching that thing constantly, you know. And he told me, he said, oh, yeah, there's some days I make $40,000. I said, $40,000? Doggone, I need to gamble. He said, no, I ain't gambling, I'm working. I said, oh, yeah? I thought, man, I ought to do that. And the Lord said, I'll put you in the garage door. I said, oh, okay, sorry, Lord. So you don't follow the money. You follow God's will. And so I told him, I said, what's that old van sitting out down there? Oh, the wiring harness messed up on that old van, blah, blah, blah. It ain't got but so-and-so miles on it. He said, why, you want it? And I said, well, I don't know, man, about that, you know. And he said, I'm wanting to get rid. He give it to me. Then he said, what you going to do with that van? I said, well, I said, I'm going to give it to somebody. I said, I was looking for one, believing for one, like that. Well, I go out, you know, and I'm like, woo, glory to God. I didn't tell them nobody, man. I didn't tell nobody. God did it. He going to let me be a blessing, praise the Lord. And you know what? The van was tore up, and I really couldn't afford to fix the van. And then the Lord said, don't give him that junk like that. He said, I want you to fix it. I thought, I'm going to have to believe you for the money. He said, I know. I mean, that's a good thing. He put me in a position to where I've got to believe him. You know, to be a blessing, you need to be believing God to be a blessing. And I've got to close. I didn't preach this sermon. The Holy Spirit is bringing us stuff, praise God. So listen, I mean, you know, you got to make some quality decisions while you're young. I'm still making them. I'm young. I'm halfway at the age that the Bible promises me. And I'm not. I told somebody the other day. I said, I'll be dog if I'm gonna make wise decisions and get up this age and start making stupid ones. I said, no. It took me a long time to get up here in this wisdom, praise God. And I'm going to maintain it, and I'm going to be bold. So you need to be bold against being lazy. Be bold against it. Be bold. I mean, if you desire for your weight or something, believe God for it. I mean, believe Him. Believe Him to help you, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God, and I know He will. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise You, and we thank You for Your